Early this month, South Australia celebrated 50 years since the state became the first to decriminalise homosexuality in the nation. Commemorative and community events were held, including a reenactment of parliamentary debates that changed history. The reform was described as progressive, both nationally and abroad, with the move setting a precedent for other states who followed in the two decades after. Many in the LGBTIQA plus community have reflected on that moment as a historical turning point. The YA's Emma Watsky has the story.
I well remember my boss coming to my office the next day when it was in the press and it had been announced, and he said, "Will, welcome to the human race."
That's Adelaide's self-described, unreconstructed gay liberationist and queer activist, Will Sergeant, OAM. It was September 1975, and he recounts the country's historic moment as SA adopted reforms. But it wasn't always like this. Mr. Sergeant recalls his own personal conflicts in the years prior.
Although I was a very flamboyant young man, I really repressed and denied my homosexual desires. And in fact, at the beginning of 1972, I'd left full-time study and got a job in an accountant's office, primarily to earn money to pay for aversion therapy, electroconvulsive therapy, to be cured of my homosexual desires.
1972, homosexuality was illegal in Australia, bringing with it a stigma of shame, a criminal conviction, and the risk of up to 10 years behind bars. That same year, Dr. George Duncan, a law professor and gay man, was thrown into Adelaide's River Torrens, where he drowned. The event triggered a renewed push for gay rights and the liberation movement.
And a couple of months later, at the launch of Dennis Altman's book, Homosexual Oppression and Liberation, Gay Liberation Front was formed. And my sister brought me home a leaflet. She was a student. Shortly afterwards, I attended my first gay liberation meeting, which was just groundbreaking for me. It was my salvation, meeting other young, radical, gay women and men who were out and proud.
In the years following, Adelaide saw its first Pride March, a symbol of rising power amongst the community. Photos of the time show streams of people through the CBD, carrying messages of rebellion and hope. That campaigning echoed into the chambers of state parliament. It took at least three attempts, with initial efforts by Liberal MP Murray Hill. But 50 years ago, in 1975, backed by the Don Dunstan government, reform was made. Labor MLC Ian Hunter was the first openly gay man elected to the South Australian Parliament, and he remembers his teenage years as parliamentary debates took place.
Personally, I was 15 at the time, in 75. I'd known that I've been homosexual since I was about 10 or 11. Growing up and going to school each day where you get called a pushover and abused, you learn pretty quickly that what you are is not to be talked about, certainly not with the family, certainly not with people at school, and you had to remain hidden. When it went through for me, it was a huge relief. I was questioning whether I had any future in the state at all, with the prospects of criminal conviction hanging over your head. I thought, well, perhaps I do have a future after all. Of course, you know, I didn't come out the very next day.
Earlier this month, advocates and parliamentarians convened for a reenactment of those 1975 speeches.
We actually had Honourable Peter Duncan speaking. He was the person who moved the private members bill in 75 that finally was successful, and the Honourable Anne Levy, who introduced the bill into the Legislative Council. It was quite remarkable the number of people came up to me afterwards, young people in particular, who weren't alive obviously at the time, who told me how moving it was to actually hear, and how shocking it was to hear some of the things that people thought was okay to say in Parliament 50 years ago.
Advocates across the country reflect on how the stroke of a parliamentary pen paved the road for decriminalisation of homosexuality in Australia and repositioned the trajectory of gay rights in the decades following.
And I think the fact that South Australia was the first jurisdiction in Australia to decriminalise male homosexual acts, and the important thing about that legislation, it was very progressive even in world terms.
Some people say that laws don't change people's views, but they do. They certainly do. Also, it made it easier to move a few years later to introduce the Equal Opportunities Act in South Australia, where we, for the first time, had sexuality as a grounds for discrimination in the Act. Our legislation, of course, was very significant. It was the first decriminalisation in Australia, but also on a world basis, it was the first to actually treat heterosexuals and homosexuals on the same basis. It had a equal age of consent, and laws that apply to, for example, public obscenity apply to anybody. So we really set the standard, and other states followed. And of course, there were a lot of other changes to legislation in the subsequent 50 years in terms of surrogacy, the criminal code, the gay panic defence has been removed, and gay conversion therapy has been banned in most states now.
While reform has come a long way, LGBTIQA plus advocates say more is needed to support the community.
Going back 50 years, it was very much about sexual identity. So that movement has become much more important, gender identity, and the whole trans movement, recognising trans people and people's right to transition, for human beings to accept that diversity. You know, we're just not a strict binary. I think that's been a significant move to incorporate intersex people and trans people into our rainbow umbrella and queer family. And I think there's probably still a lot of prejudice against trans people, and there's certainly work to be done there.
Growing up and coming out is still a bit of an issue. It's a lot easier today, of course, and for young people in particular, we need to be very supportive of them through the process of coming out.
In terms of social change, how would you like to see potentially the political landscape expand to further inclusion?
I think there is still some more work to do around the country in terms of parliament. And I reflect on what the federal government's looking at in terms of a Human Rights Act. I've chaired a committee recently that also looked into a Human Rights Act for South Australia. We've got a lot of rights bit over various bits of legislation in our state, at least. My committee decided that it would be a good idea to bring it all together in one human rights bill.
While the country has embraced 50 years of change, it's not been without struggle. And Mr. Hunter says vigilance is vital to sustaining reform.
Whilst we sort of slap ourselves on the back about our road to where we are today, and that's great that we celebrate this, we need to not look terribly far abroad to see LGBTI communities internationally who aren't in our lucky position, particularly in our region, in the Asian Pacific region. And I think we need to do a bit of work on supporting LGBTI communities around the world. If you look to America at the minute, we're seeing that rights are being attacked by government. We shouldn't take for granted as a community the rights that we now have. And I think it's beholding on all of us to actually be aware that rights that have been fought for and given under our parliamentary process could eventually be taken away again. And we have to be alert to that, and we have to fight it.
The Wire's Emma Watsky ending the story.